A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Welcome to the Anime Summit Podcast. I am Jedi Master Obi-Sam Kenobi. And then with me is Danny the Fett. Danny the Hutt.
Oh, that was good. You had it. Oh, man.
That's actually mad messed up. Yeah.
Well, Danny hello the there.
I'm Darth. Call me Darth Nick. Darth Nickius.
And Darth Nickius.
I am the Senate.
It's just like, dude, every time you do that, you just do it too well.
Yeah. It's just I really got to relish every word.
I am the Senate.
Oh, my God.
You got to let them drip off your tongue.
The dark side of the Force. Welcome to the dark side.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude, today we're talking about the awesome fucking anthology shorts, anime anthology series, Star Wars Visions, on Disney Plus. And, yeah, dude, this came out September last year. So, still a bit ago, probably 5 months ago now. But we finally got around to watching it. We were, by the time we wanted to, like review it, or we were ready to review it out of like the seasonal stuff, Dani like took a break
because she was moving. Doing
whatever. Yeah, and I was like, well, crap, she probably wants to review that too. So, but yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, very excited to talk about Star Wars. Finally get to talk about Star Wars on here.
Oh, we gotta do the oh god, sand people.
Oh, that was actually pretty good.
Dude, that was way better than enough. I ever did it.
Yeah.
I used to be able to do that, but that was way better than how I ever used to do it.
All right, Danny, so now do R2-D2's beeps.
Yeah. Danny, do the Jawas. You got to be the Jawas.
Oh. Oh, Danny!
This whole podcast is going to be making Star Wars noises the whole time.
Now speaking like Darth.
Oh, fun fact. Hold on. Fun fact. Aaron, what's his name? The guy who played Obi-Wan.
Oh, Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, Ewan
He's
McGregor.
Getting his own show.
When they were doing the lightsaber fights, he would do the vroom, 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 vroom.
That's because he's
anytime,
cool.
Literally anytime, like they were fighting and stuff, and the editors had to like literally edit him like making those sounds. Apparently, it was really difficult for them.
They're like, "Dude, can you stop?" And he's like, "Sorry."
Yeah, he's
it's really
"No,
hard.
I'm not gonna stop. Like, this is too much fun. I'm sorry. This is a Star Wars movie. Space." Oh wait, that's
Space,
Star Trek.
The final frontier.
That's Star Trek.
Oh, we should have came in with that. Fuck.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited because like obviously like I've talked about Star Wars like on the newscast like mentioning the Jedi Order is coming out or this game's coming out or this movie is coming out, but like no, I'm very excited and this is the coolest Star Wars thing I've seen in a long time and because like I mean I know Episode 9 came out recently like you know a couple years ago but. You know, that was okay, I guess. But, like, and maybe it's just, like, maybe it's the bias. Maybe I'm biased or something because it was anime. But, like, this was way cooler than Episodes 8 and 9. So, like, you know what I mean? I just, like, just say that right now. But anyway, enough talk. Let's just get into it. Who cares, dude? Links.animesummit.net. Click that or type that in the URL. Go there. And that's where you can follow everything. And I got a couple of videos I'm uploading to Anime Summit Extra. So if you're not uploading or subscribed to Anime Summit Extra, go there. And then patreon.com/AnimeSummit. Of course, become a patron today. Give a Smokey his wings. He'll fly to your house and marathon all of Clone Wars with you. If you've never seen Clone Wars, you should. It's super sweet. Actually, it's a great show. Actually, it's on Disney Plus. Yeah, you can watch it all on Disney Plus, which is where this came out on. So
yeah, pretty much everything's on Disney Plus. All the Star Wars stuff.
Anything Star Wars, yeah. Listener question of the week, Nick. Let's go.
You'll find that our question is fully operational.
This too week's good. Question is from King. Who are your favorite anime siblings?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Woo!
That's a good one.
I'm going to Google it.
And
my opinion from Google?
My voice sounding a little hoarse.
What do you guys think?
That's a good question. No, I'm trying to think. Like, I really can't think of them. Now it's like I'm putting on the spot.
What about Danny?
Sesshomaru and Inuyasha.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
No, pretty Inuyasha. Good. Pick somebody who's not lame.
Fuck
damn,
you, bro.
Haterade.
What the hell? Get out of here. Okay, Nick is officially canceled, so.
Haterade. I'm picking the Ulrich brothers. It's you guys can kiss my butt.
It's just going to be me and Sam doing the podcast from now on.
Oh, wait, no. The boy and the girl from Grave of the Fireflies.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
She really likes those candies.
Why do you always got to ruin everything? Okay. Yeah, no, yeah. They're because, like, you know, they got that brotherly rivalry going on. And
oh, no way. No. Araragi and his sister. Because he brushes her teeth.
God, okay. What about you, Danny?
I'm going to say, because I just caught up with Demon Slayer, I'm going to say Tanjiro and Nezuko.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty probably, good. Yeah. That's the best answer. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I was going to say, we should also try to avoid, like, big spoilers, too, because there's a few here that are spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Good thing none of us said it. All right.
No. Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, Inuyasha and Sesshomaru, you know that's right away when Sesshomaru gets
introduced. Yeah, it's fine.
He's, like, the first, like, big bad, I think, kind of technically, isn't he? Yeah, he pretty much is. But anyway, Danny, who's waifu and husbando?
Waifu is Kara from episode 5 of Star Wars Visions, which is the 9th Jedi. That's the name of the episode. And yep. Husbando is Ronan from episode 1, The Duel.
Yeah, he doesn't have a name. They just call him Ronan because he doesn't tell anyone his name. Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
the man
dude.
With no name. Isn't that a movie name?
Ronan?
Man with
47?
No name?
The man with no name? I think it is. This has got to
no
be a
name
Western.
Oh, yeah, Clint Eastwood. Yeah, okay.
Clint Eastwood, dude. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah, a lot of the Star Wars stuff is based on Westerns and Japanese samurai stuff. So.
Yeah. So, just quickly, because I know Nick is probably going to say, hey, you should say this. But, like, for those who don't know, if you live under a rock, I guess, Star Wars is a franchise that started in the 70s, written by George Lucas. It's a space opera. It takes place in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away is where it takes place, in which humans and many species of alien humanoid coexist with robots. There's star battles. There's political upheaval, political war between the Galactic Republic and then the Separatists form and take over the Republic. And then there's the Resistance, the Rebels, all kinds of stuff. And it's a big wanting to take over the galaxy kind of thing. And then people going, fascism sucks. So no, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
We're going to use our version of it where you can't love anybody.
Can't love nobody.
Because that's the Jedi thing. They're like, you have to be a virgin.
But yeah. but like Nick says, though, Star Wars, it borrows a lot from inspiration from, like, Akira Kurosawa films. The only one I've ever seen is Seven Samurai. I haven't seen any other
film. I haven't seen any of them.
Seven Samurai is really good. And Seven Samurai has inspired a lot of things outside of Star Wars, especially. So that's really
well,
cool.
Well, I know the original Star Wars was kind of a loose retelling of Hidden Fortress. And
that's
then also it has like, pretty much Akira Kurosawa, like a lot of his movies, like Yojimbo and Throne of Blood and all that stuff. Haven't seen any of them, but you know, you can tell whenever they're paying homage.
But there's also like the Western elements, like, you know, like Han Solo is very much, he fills that
role.
He's the quick draw McGraw. He's just a wanderer going through town trying
Han
to make
Solo
money.
Shot first.
Trying to live.
Yeah, he had to.
Yeah. But yeah, dude. I mean, so that's what Star Wars is, right?
It's pretty much like space westerns.
Yeah.
It has like a loose influence with Dune too, because of the spice and sci-fi. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that came before it. So, and it's the number 5 most highest grossing media franchise.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Behind Pokemon, Hello Kitty, Mickey Mouse, Winnie the Pooh, and then it goes Star Wars. How the hell is Winnie the Pooh that high? What the fuck?
Winnie the fucking Pooh.
That is insane.
Pooh,
what's wrong with Winnie the Pooh?
I don't know. I'm just saying it's number 4 above Star Wars.
Shit. I love Winnie the Pooh.
I mean, who doesn't like Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, A.A. Milne, I have the complete collection of all the Winnie the Pooh stuff, and I just love it. Yeah, dude, and then so basically, Too Long Didn't Read, there were three films that came out in the 70s and 80s that were episodes 4, 5, and 6. Then in like the early 2000s, there was, and I think 99, episodes 1, 2, and 3, which told just like the prequel trilogy. And then recently, in the last like 5 years, we got the sequel trilogy, which was episodes 7, 8, 9. And that all compromises something called the Skywalker Saga. And in this whole entire saga, you learn about Jedi, which are like these code of people who can use the Force, bounty hunters, all kinds of shit. Just in
and
space
the Sith. And it's the Jedi versus the Sith, pretty much. Or no, it's
sorry,
the,
I didn't even say that. The Sith.
It's the,
yeah,
what is it? The Rebels versus the...
Republic.
Republic.
The Empire, sorry. The
well,
Empire.
It's the Empire, and then I think it's Republic later on or something.
They
or
took...
No,
they
the,
took They
Crimson
took
Dawn
over the Republic. They took over the Republic. Yeah. And
I suck
and,
at Star Wars lore. I'm not really qualified.
Yeah. These Separatists took over the Republic because Palpatine was the senator and he...
Yeah. Anyway.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. But anyways, you should watch Star Wars. That being said...
Yeah, at least... I mean, just check it out. You don't have to think... Yeah. Might not be your favorite thing, but at least watch it. You're a fucking loser if you don't watch Star Wars. Seriously.
And so Star
Seriously,
Wars
Seriously,
Visions...
I'm not kidding. Like, if you don't watch some of the most famous, like, media franchises, like, what the fuck are you doing with your life?
Yeah,
that's
Nick.
That's fucking sad.
What are you doing with your life?
I'll watch Terminator,
all
right?
The one who is all like, duh, Shrek is the best movie ever.
Hey, Shrek is a classic.
Yeah, Nick
you
has
should
a,
come
seen
on our freaking cinematography. And
yeah,
Sam and I will school you.
No, I want to get a Nick initial reaction cinematography episode of Terminator.
Oh, Terminator. Yeah.
I'm only, anyway, planning... my deal was I only had to watch Terminator 2. I don't have to watch 1.
No, you should watch 1. You should watch the first 2 at
least. Nope, the deal with me and Jeremy said was Terminator 2.
Jeremy fucked up. He should have told you to watch the first 2. Hashtag planning on the podcast.
Well, so, we... Sam and I are making you watch the first one.
So now you have to.
All right, you guys have to watch Shrek back to back.
Okay, planning on the podcast. Have to everyone take a shot. So, anime anthology series, right? We had a few of these before. One of the first ones we ever got was the Animatrix. There was also one way back in the day called Robot Carnival.
I gotta watch that one.
The Batman one.
Then there's Gotham Knight, which is the Batman one, which has 5.
Yeah, that
shorts.
One's weird.
But. You know, they kind of are like these side stories that take place in the universe, they either do or either don't. In the Animatrix's case,
didn't
all
they have
of those
X-Men one too? That was like really bad.
No, that's an actual like OVA
that
series.
That was like, yeah, that was a.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them. Show. We're not telling all of them, but yeah.
But like the most popular ones are Animatrix, Gotham Knights, Robot Carnival, and probably this one now. So some of these shorts do take place within like. Whether they're canon or not, I guess is, I don't know.
No, none of them are canon. But, it's just like they got a bunch of anime studios to make whatever they wanted, pretty much.
Right, but some of Star these, Wars. Like, if they were canon, some of them do take place, like, in like, after, before, during the whatever. The first one is an alternate history, and I think that the last one is as well. But we can talk about those when we go in them. So let's just start. Let's just get into it. There were... 9 shorts, okay, some of them 15 minutes, some of them, one of them I think was like 20 or 18 minutes. But it was really easy to watch, about 2.5 hours altogether, a little bit under 2.5 hours. And so we'll take you through each of these and kind of score them at the end, and then we'll ask some questions at the end of what we think about some of these studios and whatever, and then we'll be on our fucking way to becoming a proper Jedi. Let's fucking do it, dude. Number one is The Duel by Studio Kamikaze Douga. And this was directed by Takanobu Mizuno and written by Takashi Okazaki. Takanobu Mizuno, you might know him. He did Rapid Rouge in the 24th Animator Expo shorts. He hasn't done much at all, actually. This is like the third or fourth thing he's ever directed.
He was the CG director for Batman Ninja.
Which is cool if you've never seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Batman Ninja.
But so this one, The Duel, is in an alternate kind of Star Wars version where, like, it's very heavily feudal Japan, clearly. Which, again, makes sense, right? Because, like Nick mentioned earlier, you know, the Akira Kurosawa films were a big influence. And the Code of the Samurai, the Bushido Code, was a big influence on Jedi. On the path being, you know, being a Jedi is like being a samurai. So it was kind of cool. But basically, this wanderer goes through this little village, and then a bunch of stormtroopers and what you can imagine to be the Empire comes through and starts, you know, ravaging everything, taking everything. And, of course, they're backed by a heavily armed Sith Lord, and they have, like, a modified lightsaber, which, like, has, like, adaptive parts to it, and they can use, like, as a parasol saber thing. Or just like a regular lightsaber, and it was fucking cool.
Which that was pretty sweet to watch.
And so the Wanderer's like, okay, well, I'm here. I might as well see if I can protect these people from these assholes. And he walks into the middle of the village in the middle of like gunfire between the village guardians and the stormtroopers, just all casual. And they start fighting, and it's like this really cool fucking fight. It's a CG animated one, and it's super. I thought the CG was great.
Yeah, it's all black and white. It looks sweet.
It's all, sorry, I didn't even fucking mention that. Yeah, it's all black and white, and the only parts that are colored are lightsabers and lights and lasers here and mm-hmm. there. But Kamikaze Douga, they've done some stuff for, they've helped work CG for JoJo and
that's
Batman
kind of the most
Ninja.
Famous one, yeah.
Yeah, and some other stuff. So
this one's kind of like Yojimbo, I think. I saw a YouTube video where they mentioned that.
Yeah, yep. This was super cool. It was really sweet. What did you guys think of the CG? Like, would you watch CG anime that was like this? Because I totally would.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like, I don't know, on a long episode, I might get a little, like, car sick.
Oh, sure, like motion sickness. Yeah.
But yeah, I really liked the style of it. I loved how the she had like the Frankenstein hair when the Sith lady took off her robe. It looked like Afro Samurai a little bit. Reminded me of that.
Oh yeah. That's a good comparison. Yeah.
And yeah, like the ruse that the Ronin used to defeat her at the end was fucking sweet.
That
like
was
in the waterfall
sick.
In the shrine. I was like, oh, so sick,
bro.
I guess we don't want to, like, super... Do we spoil these? Like, maybe don't super spoil them, but... this one was really cool. That said, yeah, I don't know how... I would say that there's at least a couple other ones, one or two other ones that would be, like, a more interesting, like, story pilot than this one.
Yeah.
This one is just, like, all style
like,
to me.
Well, I feel like this... The Duel was definitely a good start off with it.
Yeah, it's a good opener. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
sure.
It definitely it was a good opener for sure. I really enjoyed it, and personally, I probably would have liked to see a series out of that because the ending I thought was pretty neat. Because, you know, it reveals that, like, who he was and everything. Like
who the Wanderer was, a little bit, yeah.
A little bit, like, because
he's like a Sith, or like a disaffected
Sith.
Well,
I didn't want to, like,
They show it like in the middle of the episode.
It's fine.
He has a red lightsaber. He's like a
he does have a red lightsaber.
It's not a spoiler.
But like I thought like the ending part of that, like when the village chief went up to him and was all like, "Thank you," you know, like they said "Thank you, Jedi." And then, you know, as he was taking the crystal from the lightsaber, he like kind of peeked at his pocket, like he opened his like jacket a little bit, and you can see like a bunch of the red crystals and stuff like that. And I thought that was pretty interesting, that like he was kind of like a Sith slayer, a Sith hunter and stuff. So
yeah,
I think I would definitely, you know, I mean, almost all of these shorts I would honestly like to see more of. Some of them I probably wouldn't, but
well, we can talk about it at the end when we
I really thought that this was a great start and everything, and honestly I kind of would want to see some anime like this, like in black and white. I feel like that would be interesting, maybe, or at least like a movie or something.
Yeah, apparently black and white is actually more expensive. I don't know if that's true or not, but it also is kind of... Black and white is interesting because, like, it's kind of good and kind of bad. Like, I know there's, like, the black and white movies that are classics, but certain things, like, you just want them in color, like animation.
There are certain things that you can't show, like, on a black and white, you know what I mean? Like, because it doesn't show up well.
It could still work. I mean, you know, like, Gunbuster had a black and white episode. Obviously, the old anime, I think it wasn't Astro Boy in black and white, or is that wrong? I mean, the stuff that's older than that, it was black and white for sure, but
right.
It just feels a little weird to have animation be black and white.
Right.
But it looks cool.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude, the duel, very fucking cool. It was definitely
I like how
made
it panned up into the stars at the end of it.
They're like walking down the
scenery, and then it just pans up.
I thought it was a very good opener. It was like very much just made to open what you were gonna watch. You know, it's like, oh shit, this is what we're doing. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, very cool. Very cool way for Kamikaze Douga to bring themselves into the forefront. And say, yeah, we're fucking here too. We can compete with like these other big names up here. So very sweet. And also, Lucy Liu was the voice of the Sith.
Yes. Did you guys watch it in English or Japanese?
I watched it on Disney Plus in English. I know the subtitles are better for some of these, especially episode two. But
Okay. Yeah, because I watched it in English.
Yeah, I just watched it in English because that's what I had it as, and I just thought it's Star Wars.
Oh, it was fun. It was funny because James and I watched this yesterday, and it was set to Japanese, and I mean, I didn't mind watching it in Japanese, and then all of a sudden, like, the characters started talking, and there was no subtitles, so I'm all like, I don't know what they're saying, and then I realized, so.
You're a podcaster, you should know.
One of the cool things about Disney Plus is that they have the audio and subtitles available in over 10 languages.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but apparently really cool. The subtitles weren't as good because they have like a... It's just not as good as like the fan subs, apparently.
Sure.
On Disney Plus, but I don't know.
That being said, Lucy Liu, you know, playing Oren Ishii in Kill Bill and then playing this also, Other Deadly Samurai, was really fun and cool.
Oh, yeah, Kill Bill inspired by a bunch of stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Number two.
By the way, the umbrella lightsaber is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was. So she had a red lightsaber, and then this attachment went on top of it to make the saber split into like
fucking sick
five or six spines, and it made like a parasol. It was fucking sick. Yeah, dude. Number two. Oh yeah, that's like. By the way, that's like peak Sith design right there. Her design as a Sith was badass.
Yeah, dude, she was dope.
She was sick. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Should have said that earlier. Number two, Tatooine Rhapsody.
The weirdest one.
Yeah, directed by Taku Kimura, written by Yasumi Atarashi, Studio Colorado.
Colorado.
I love I love Colorado.
I knew you were going to like this one, Sam.
Yeah, I love Studio Colorado. So,
this is like Leiji Matsumoto or something. Reminds me of
Taku Kimura, he did
Galaxy Express 999.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that.
You got the bean people that look fucking ugly as shit.
Well, Taku Kimura, he's very into kind of like the older looking kind of. Because he's also the guy who did Concrete Revolution. So,
Studio Colorado did Pokemon Twilight Wings. So,
they did.
I definitely got a Pokemon vibes.
Also,
Tatooine Rhapsody.
Also, I got that super wrong. Taku Kimura directed this, but he voice acted in Concrete Revolution. So, I don't know. That's either a different one. Oh, they're two different people. That's why I got it wrong. Clicked on the wrong fucking thing, yo. Taku Kimura directed A Place Further Than the Universe, Episode 6, Tacked Up Destiny for a few episodes, and Boogie Pop and Others for Episode 4. So, yeah, Studio Colorado is sick. I like their logo. It's just a little swan. Studio Colorado. Tatooine Rhapsody. This takes place during the Clone Wars, and a Jedi Padawan named Jay attempts to escape from the war, and he stumbles upon. He falls like off of the side of a building while running, and he lands in a little ship, and it's run by Gee the Hutt. And later, all of a sudden, Jay is in Gee the Hutt's band called Star Waver. He's in a rock band.
This is a rock band Star Wars episode.
And
the lightsaber is their microphone.
It's his microphone, yeah. And it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays his voice.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. So years later, during the reign of the Galactic Empire, now they're a band traveling around in this ship, which is also their stage. Which is kind of neat, right? They just drive around and then they open it up and they're like, okay, come to the show, you know? And Boba Fett, the Fett Man himself, okay? He comes in, tells Gee, dude, you got to come with me. Jabba the Hutt sent me to come get you, and you got to stop being a little fat bitch. And you got to come back home with the other fat bitches that we work with, all right? And then Jabba the Hutt's like all... You know, he's Jabba the Hutt, and he gets what he wants and by using his money and power.
And his girth.
And his girth. So, Gee not wanting to, you know, he doesn't want to be part of that. He doesn't want to be part of the family crime syndicate of the Hutts, and he wants to just be in a band. And so, Boba's like, dude, I'm going to kill all your friends. Like, if you fucking, like, I'm literally going to kill your whole band if you don't fucking come with me. So, of course, Gee is like, no, dude, I love my friends. I love my band. I'll come with you. And then I don't really think this is bad.
All right, Sam, you gotta summarize it a little quicker next time.
Like, wasn't Gee, like, wanted for something? I don't
know.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Because
Boba Fett, like, took him anyway.
Yeah. Well, yes, because Gee went with him because he didn't want his band to get killed. So, anyway, the thing is, I don't, and this is not really a spoil. I don't care if we spoil this one because it's just what is kind of, you know. But, like, they go and save Gee by, like, playing a band. They're like, give us one last request. Let us play a band.
They win their hearts with music.
And they win their hearts with music. That's pretty much what it is. And then they end up surviving because Jay is like, hey, Jabba, become our sponsor. And the people of Tatooine like their music. So he's like, oh, okay, good investment opportunity.
GG.
Fuck it. GG. That's literally it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I could have been quicker with that. But,
and
yeah,
Boba Fett
literally it.
Crowd surfs.
That would have been hilarious. No one would be.
No, he did, I think.
No, that didn't
I don't think that.
Nobody
happens.
Would be able to lift the Hutt. What are you talking about?
No, I said
about?
Boba Fett. Boba Fett.
Oh, Boba Fett.
Oh,
no, sorry. Not...
Oh, yes.
Was it Boba
yes,
Fett?
Boba
yeah, Boba Fett.
Yes, Boba
yeah.
Fett did crowd surf. Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
No, not Jabba the Hutt. God damn, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a part where Boba Fett was like kind of tapping his foot a little. He's like, okay, yeah, I'm kind of into this. Like,
yeah, no,
was really
Jabba was tapping his tail.
Yeah, Jabba was tapping his tail. It was really funny. I can't imagine, like, the one thing I didn't like about watching this in English is, like, that song sounded super, like,
it
yeah, it sounded
was
weird.
Kind
it
of
weird.
Very cringy a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, aww.
It probably would have sounded way better in Japanese, but, yeah. Anyways, the art style to this one is kind of chibi-ish, kind of super deformed a little bit.
Yeah, it's like
so
Leiji Matsumoto,
kind of,
right?
No, not really. No.
Yeah, right?
He doesn't do his.
Didn't he do? Who did Galaxy Express 9999?
That was Leiji Matsumoto, but that's not super deformed or chibi at all.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, it's actually not.
I definitely got more.
Was it Galaxy Express? Yeah, you got the fucking bean people.
I got more Pokemon out of this episode than anything. And it makes sense because Studio Colorado did Twilight Wings. So.
Yeah, kind of bigger head.
Yeah.
Smaller body, kind of. Yeah.
Like me in real life.
Galaxy Express. Like Nick in real life, yes.
I'll go like a lollipop.
It was kind of cute to see Boba Fett in that form. Honestly.
Yeah, he was
baby,
like...
Boba Fett.
He was a little cutie. So, like, honestly, I didn't think Boba Fett was too threatening because he was just so adorable.
Right,
so,
yeah.
If I saw Boba Fett like that in real life, I would just let... Like, if he was here to, like, take me as... Because, like, I was a wanted... Because he was there. Like, he took me as a bounty... I would just straight up laugh at him. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. You're just a chibi you're literally just not threatening at all to me, dude. So sorry. Yeah.
Danny would do the ara ara laugh. God.
Yeah.
This
so anyway.
One was like the least Star Wars of all the shorts, I would say. But it was also kind of the funniest one.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because it was so out there.
Definitely one of the shorter ones, too. We forgot to rate the duel, score the duel. But anyways,
We could do that now. Or we could do it at the end. We could just, like, list, rank them all at the end or something.
Oh, yeah, fire them all at the end. Yeah, we could do that.
We'd
yeah,
be like, here's my list from 9 to 1.
We could do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll do that
just
instead.
Just list them out. Don't, like, describe it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Way better, way better, way better. Okay, planning on the podcast. Everyone shut up.
Planning on the podcast.
All right. Let's go on to number three, though. Number three, the twins.
Studio Trigger.
Hiroyuki Imaishi, the goat, written by Hiromi Wakabayashi and Studio Trigger.
I was a little disappointed with this one.
This one
No,
crazy.
I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
This one fucking...
How dare you, Danny?
I don't know. I mean, I liked it, like, but I don't know.
I'm a Trigger fan, bitch, though.
Let's song summarize it.
I feel like I liked... The Elder way better.
Yeah, there's other ones with more story. All right, Sam, in elevator pitch, what is this one?
The twins, basically, this takes place after the Battle of Exegol, which is the last battle in Episode 9, the climactic battle of the sequel saga. And they make this twin, the remnants of the First Order and Sith Eternal, make a twin Star Destroyer powered by two... Force-sensitive biological made in like laboratory-made twins named Kare and Am. One powers one side, one powers the other. And Kare doesn't want to be a Sith. He doesn't want to do that shit. And he realizes he has a vision with the Force that shows their destruction, and it shows his twin sister Am dying. And so he doesn't want to do that. They're powered by these really huge kyber crystals on each side, and their armors interact with those crystals, and this twin Star Destroyer can, like, destroy a whole planet, just like the fucking Star Destroyer or Death Star can. So, but yeah, basically, Kare tries to take his kyber crystal and dips it with his droid R-Duo, and Am stops him at the top of the
And they have
the
a
ship.
Crazy space battle. That's the
and
show.
And they have
okay.
a huge fucking crazy lightsaber battle and sick. Yeah.
That they're in space and...
It's Trigger.
How
thing.
Do they
they're
not
in space.
Die?
Because,
that's the
Danny,
only thing,
he's I feel like Mary Poppins' Princess Leia.
I literally, that whole part, like, when I finally realized that they were in space, I'm all like, that's
And they're talking, and they can hear
that's
each other in space.
That's literally what got me. I'm all like, are you serious? Like, this is not, no.
Well, we're not in the alien universe, so clearly in space, people can hear you scream.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that Trigger, and I knew Imaishi, and Wakabayashi were just going to go crazy with it. I mean, the thing about each one of these writers and directors, they love Star Wars. So, like, I'm not sure what direction they were given when they were asked to do it, but I'm sure it was something along the lines of do whatever the fuck you want, and that's what they did. So
yeah, they're like,
I mean,
Just go full trigger studio trigger and just
go. Yeah, do the everything. Reason why we picked you is so you do your thing.
Dude, his sister has 8 lightsabers? 6 lightsabers?
She's straight up General Grievous.
Yeah,
she's a fine
addition to my collection.
It was funny because James said that too. Like when she whipped out all those lightsabers, James goes, "All right, General Grievous." Like,
how is she carrying all of them? Doesn't she only have 2 arms?
No, so her armor had the arms built in the back.
Oh,
and when she put her broken kyber crystal in her chest in the armor, she was able to use them like that. So. Plus the 2 she had with their own kyber crystals in them. But
Also, Neil Patrick Harris voiced Kari. And then Alison Brie voiced Am.
Which was sick.
Alison Brie is hot.
Try not to sexualize her.
I have a crush on her.
Alison Brie can Alison my Brie anytime. But you can tell very much so that this is Trigger. You can tell that they reuse character sheets from Promare.
Oh, yeah, it looks like the guy from Promare.
Oh, yeah. And for Leo.
I'm rewatching it right now as he's taking the lightsaber and just extending his lightsaber like Goku Power Pole style and just running it through the Star Destroyer.
So sick, dude. It's so dope. Whatever, dude.
It's like, the most ridiculous shit ever. Like, this would only Trigger could do this. Like, this would never happen in Star Wars.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I do think it's funny that it happens. They're supposed to happen after the Battle of Exegol, and they don't want to make a new Repub. But like, this one guy with a 20-mile lightsaber just is like, no.
they do the Last Jedi thing and cut the ship in half.
Yeah,
go on light speed.
I would have killed the Last Jedi. But anyway,
Jedi.
Very fucking cool. I very much like it. They have this
another
really
all
crazy
style, no substance.
Yeah, pretty triggered. Much. They have this really cool just power. Just imagine 2 like godlike Jedis just like going at it in space. Very fucking cool.
And so, it ends on the Tatooine twin sons, named the twins. There you go.
Any final thoughts on this one, Danny or Nick?
A lot of pink and blue. Pink and blue.
A lot of red and blue, pink and blue, red and blue, pink and blue.
It was fine.
The animation and fight in this one was awesome. So yeah, I mean it was kind of like a DBZ fight where they're just kind of like flailing around really fast.
Yeah,
the choreography wasn't like at the same level as like the duel.
Yeah.
It was sweet. Dude, the lightsaber going through the Star Destroyer was fucking awesome.
So Danny, you didn't like it just because it was just ridiculous? Or?
The premise of it was kind of silly to me. Like, again, you know, them magically being able to fight in literal space. Like
the vacuum of space.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the power. They have the power of friendship.
They're siblings.
Well, to be fair, also, like, they're not. I don't think they're superhuman. They're superhuman, right? Because they were biologically made. But, like, they
don't
say
know.
That. So, you know.
Feel like if I would have had a little bit more of an explanation.
There's characters in Star Wars who can breathe in space. If you get cybernetic implants, you can do it.
Oh, that's true.
You could just assume they had that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna
like
assume
Cad
that
Bane
they
has
don't.
That.
So.
Well, like they said in the beginning, though, like, and they use Sith alchemy to like genetically make these 2. So who knows? They could have just put that in there when they were growing them in the fucking test tubes, you know. But no, I
maybe
get you.
Maybe they just have
you know.
On invisible spacesuits, Danny.
I went in it knowing it was going to be kind of ridiculous because it's Trigger.
I mean,
so
I
Imaishi. Imaishi is like insane.
I mean, right, when I first saw, you know, like clips of it, of that in particular and stuff, I knew it was kind of going to be like Promare and everything like that. So, because it's honestly almost like a cut and paste, especially for the design and everything like that. Especially for Leo, like they literally just took Leo's face and slapped it on a Star Wars episode.
Well, like I said, it's not uncommon that to use character sheets, and that's what they did.
That one was definitely very like I knew that was Trigger. Like I didn't even have to like I had my phone with me and looking at the studios, like on you know who did them and everything like that. I was kind of like following along. But the minute that the twins came up, I instantly knew, like, okay, that's Trigger. Like,
Yeah. So, I mean, that's Imayushi's art style and everything. Yeah. So, I mean,
all right.
I liked the other trigger one way better.
Yeah, which is coming up.
Is it the next one? No, it's
no, no it's a couple from this one. The number four, The Village Bride.
This one was
directed by Hitoshi Haga.
Really good too.
Written by Takahito Onishi and Hitoshi Haga, by Kinema Citrus. Kinema Citrus, dude, they've done Tokyo Magnitude 8.0, Review Starlight, Rising Shield Hero, Show by Rock, Hardfight Vanguard Overdress, Made in Abyss, The Golden City of the Scorching Sun, which is coming out soon. Very excited for that. Hitoshi Haga, I don't know what they've done. I think this is like one of their first things that they have ever directed as well. But that being said,
I really liked this one too.
They've worked on a lot of OVAs that I used to love as a kid. So that's all you got to know. Yeah, this
looks like he worked
sweet.
On just Kinema Citrus stuff. He did like animation episode directing stuff. So
okay,
ooh, so, animation director on Monster.
So this is a few
animation
years after
Perfect Blue.
So this is a couple years after the execution of Order 66, the Great Jedi Purge. A fallen Jedi named F is drawn to a remote planet by an explorer named Valko, and Valko explains that bandit raiders that have reprogrammed old Separatist droids are holding a village hostage, and he's kind of showing her around and saying, yeah, dude, these two are going to get married, and then once they get married, they're going to go with the raiders in order to keep the village safe. And obviously that's fucking wrong, right? That sucks. That's not how it should be. So there's turmoil within the village. Like, obviously they're letting the bride and her husband take the fall, sacrifice their freedom for their safety, but everyone is obviously pissed because it sucks. So then F realizes how precious life is and decides, no, I'm a Jedi, you're a bunch of bitches, and it's very cool.
She had a yellow lightsaber too.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I like the ones with the stories. This one and a few others. The first few had more style than story. This one is more of like a, this could be like a pilot. Like, I'd watch this show, you know?
This was definitely the first one where you were like, it had something to it, and it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Very much so.
This one almost, this one could have been non-Star Wars. It almost felt like it wasn't until the end.
Right. No, that's true. That's true.
But that's kind of what makes it interesting, because it's not just like the same Jedi Sith thing that you see over and over again. It's more of like the tertiary characters.
Right.
Which, of course, there's like force usage, and there's lightsabers in all of these, but yeah.
Right. The main thing about this one is that the Jedi F, she was a grown Padawan, so she was like before she becomes a master. And she's noticing the traditions about this village and this town on this planet, that they have a very like oneness with nature. And one of the whole things about being a Jedi is being one with the Force. So like, it was kind of like her final lesson, and that's what was like really fucking cool about it. And dude, it was sick. And her fucking doing some samurai shit, just like that whoosh right through the fucking guy.
Oh dude, she had like high heeled jet packs or something.
Oh yeah, her fucking shoes had like the Force in them.
Yeah,
or
some
mechanical thing that made her like just high speed kill you 5,000.
She was like the guy on My Hero Academia with the big calves.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I forgot his name.
Recipro. Yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, dude.
And she used the Force like Kylo Ren to stop a blaster shot.
So dope. Super dope. Yeah, because the main bad guy was about to execute one of the villagers, the bride's sister, and then he was this. Yeah, it was dope. The animation was really nice, too. I really like it. Kinema Citrus always does a decent job.
Did this one have the Kevin Penkin music, or is that a different one?
Oh.
I think it might have.
You know what?
This one has some of the better music.
I swear I just read that. Hold on a second. But yeah, this one had some sweet music in it, for sure. Some music in it was from like the original, some of the original soundtracks and stuff.
Yeah, by the way, but Star Wars itself, like the whole franchise, has some of the fucking best like sci-fi music. It's fucking sweet.
It really does. It really does. I cannot find it, Nick, but I'm sure it did because when you say that. Anyway. What else did you guys think of it, Danny? And I don't know. We've been talking over you. Sorry, but.
I didn't really have it much to say about it. I did think, you know, a lot of the spats that were going on between the bride and her sister. Her sister just said, you know, you don't have to do this. Like, we can fight and everything. And the bride was just like, I've learned to accept it. You know, I don't know. I enjoyed the art style of it, but I feel like I was a little sleepy when I was watching it, because it definitely calmed you down after all the hype that you got from Trigger. So I felt like it was good medium kind of episode to like calm you down from the previous episode.
Yeah, Trigger is like downing a Red Bull. And this is like a warm glass of milk.
This is like cozying up on your couch and like with your blankie, and then have like a nice cup of like herbal tea. So
yeah, that's actually a good point that we haven't mentioned yet. But now that we're halfway through, somewhat half, is the way they put these obviously was chosen in a very.
They deliberately chose them. Although I would say that I get why they put. The band one after the duel, but I feel like they probably should have put the band one like more in the middle, because that might have turned. I could see that turning people off. They're like, oh, this is blah, you know, like
yeah.
But if it was like in the middle,
they'd
be like, well, that was weird. All right, let's see what's, you know what I mean. So they'd see what's.
It should have been more of an intermission episode whereas the rest of them had like Jedi shit, and this one was just kind of like absolutely. Okay, yeah, I really liked. Really like this one as well.
I actually think this one could have been the first one in the order. I wonder why they picked the order they did. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like
the Village Bride, or I mean almost any of the other ones, and then just put that before the duel, and then you can still have the band one after the duel. Just reorder it, and then like it would flow. It'd be a little better, but.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they tried to bookend it with like really Japanese feudal kind of.
No, I get that. Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, no, I get you. I get what you mean.
They could put like the Elder as the first one, and then
what?
I don't know, maybe the Village. And then,
I wouldn't want the Elder as the first episode.
That'd be kind of cool. That would work.
Nah.
Anyways,
I disagree. Sorry, I disagree.
Nick said he sounded like he was gonna cry for a second. He's like, all right, fine.
All right, dude. The number five, the
this
ninth
one.
Jedi.
This one had the best story.
Go ahead.
This is directed by Kenji Kamiyama, written by Kenji Kamiyama, and this is the only one on here done by Production IG.
They did Ghost in the Shell and a bunch of other stuff.
Yes. Yep. Kenji Kamiyama has done a bunch of stuff, starting with doing backgrounds for DuckTales. DuckTales. He started as a background artist. He did DuckTales, Pat LaBour. He did Burn Up. He was also the art director for Burn Up W, and a lot of Ghost in the Shell stuff. He was a director for Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex and Second Gig and Solid State Society. So, The Ninth Jedi. This was it was very cool because we got a nice little story in the one before it, right? And here we have another little story centering more around Jedi after the fall of the Jedi Order.
I want a series out of this one.
So this one, yeah, really quick.
I want more.
Yeah, really quick.
We got to be like Kylo Ren. More!
More! Many generations after the Jedi Order became mostly extinct, Margrave Juro, the Jedi ruler of planet Hyazlan, invites seven masterless Jedi to his aerial temple in order to receive lightsabers, whose design has been lost to time, and sabersmith La Zima and his daughter Kara turns out they are getting hunted by the fucking... Who are the bad guys? It's just the Empire, right? They're just kind of like going after the...
Something like that.
It's just the Empire, yeah.
And so they're just like, well, fuck you guys, right? Like, fuck the Jedi. And so they kind of explain the lore of a lightsaber here.
Yeah, with the kyber crystals and everything.
Yeah. So, which originally it was not like that until Disney bought it and changed it a little bit. Where before you would go and find that crystal because you were drawn to it and was already that color. And in this case...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And in this case, the kyber crystal is just powerful by itself.
Right.
And when you put it in the lightsaber and you wield it or turn it on, it comes
it'll
out
give
clear.
You, yeah, it'll give you that... Well, it'll give you the color that...
It almost looks like the Darksaber.
Yeah, when it's clear, it almost kind of looks like the Darksaber a little bit, yeah. And then it'll give you the color, the appropriate color, once it realizes the Force within you. Which is what Danny was about to say before I cut her off. But, basically this guy, he makes, like, 7 lightsabers, and he's going to give them to all these Jedi. And then his daughter runs away with him because he gets attacked by the Empire, and she goes up to the temple, and they give them all to the Jedi that arrive there, and it turns out that six of them are Sith, and they were there to stop lightsaber production from this guy and kill the Jedi and whatever. So it turned out to be this really cool, like, multi-lightsaber, multi-Jedi battle thing in a temple where there was a
speeder
huge
chase.
Kyber crystal. There was a speeder chase. Oh, that part was cool. I was so glad. I was so happy we got a speeder chase through a forest. Like, there's little Easter eggs
Endor.
Little callbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, like little callbacks to the original movies, and that was one of them, and it was super cool. But yeah, what did you guys think of this one? A lot of voice actors in this one. There was a lot of parts in this one.
Yeah, this one was good.
It felt like fully fleshed out. Like, they had a whole...
Yeah.
Like, they had a whole pilot episode. It was like... Okay, we're gonna go somewhere from here. We got these character introductions. There's motivations. You know, it's just I liked Kara, the girl. Like she was what like Rey probably should have been. You know, in the sequel trilogy,
she was badass.
Maybe because like Rey was a little bit of a Mary Sue. Let's be honest, she was too strong. She was like Kirito from Sword Art Online. She's like too good.
She's a beater.
Yeah. And I guess Kara kind of is too, to be fair, but she's an anime girl, so that's better, you know. Anyway, yeah,
Kara like had hops, dude.
She
was like flipping around.
I feel like she was definitely a very talented, soon to be Jedi. Even though like she even said it when she picked up one of the lightsabers. From when her dad was finished making them, and she like put it on and it didn't really like it was kind of like just visible, like
yeah, it was
colorless.
Clear. It didn't have a color.
And
yeah.
You know, she wielded it really, really awesome. And she even said it herself. She's like, I guess I don't like you know have the Force enough within me and everything like that. But she knew how to fight. So
I think that was like the best part about it was like when she decided to she just knew right away. She's like, something here is wrong. Like this doesn't feel right. And then she starts fighting, and the one guy, Ethan, who's the only other Jedi who wasn't a Sith.
Ethan, what a name.
Yeah, I thought that was
how
weird.
Basic.
Yeah, his name is Ethan. Everyone's name is Kara, Margrave Juro, and then Ethan. yeah, that's La Zima, that's Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's Boba Fett, and that's Steve. But like, and it's like, oh, what's your droid's name? Jose. But like, yeah, no, like it was cool because like she just went in. She didn't think about it, right? And the whole thing about being a Jedi is like people think it's about being good and fighting the bad guys and whatever. It's not. It's finding balance and doing what's right, even if it means breaking the Jedi rule a little bit. And she didn't think about it. She just said, you're a Sith. You're here to do some fucked up shit. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you to the ground. And she started fighting. And then while she was crossing swords with somebody, hers, like, turned green. And it was like, a really sick moment. And it was like, oh! But, yeah, dude. Very cool. Very sick. That was a sick one. And like Nick said and Danny said earlier, it was very fleshed out. I would love to see a series of this. I'll talk about, you know, when we rank them at the end, I'll mention that more. But
I like how they kind of reversed the introduction of the, it's like the villain shows up, but it's actually the ally. It's the Jedi. He shows up in like a mech robot and he looks all evil. But then he has a green lightsaber and you're like, oh, he's on our side.
He was in the saber the whole time. But the robot the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. If I played like Knights of the Old Republic and like read all the Star Wars expanded universe stuff, like I'd know a lot more, but I got to get in on that stuff. Like there's so many books they wrote. Back in the day,
there's
a lot. KOTOR is just like super, you know, one of the better video games.
It is really cool. It's very fun.
I'd get more out of it if I knew that. Because like during KOTOR, there was like tons of Jedi and tons of Sith. There's like thousands of them.
Because it takes place like.
Whereas the original trilogy, there's hardly any.
Yeah. Yeah. Danny, any last thoughts on the Ninth Jedi?
I thought it was really cool that one of the Sith people kind of turned. He had a change of heart.
That's right.
And his lightsaber turned purple. And James.
Oh, yeah, like Mace Windu.
Well, James and I were going through the meanings of the different colored lightsabers. And, I mean, originally, the purple lightsaber literally had absolutely no meaning because Sam L. Jackson wanted his lightsaber to be purple because purple was his favorite color. And Lucas was all like, fuck it, you're Sam Jackson. Okay.
Yeah. What am I going to say?
But, like, you know, the expanded universe, like the authors, they gave the color more meaning. And this article says that purple lightsaber represented moral ambiguity and uncertainty and reconstruction, which kind of makes sense with that, you know, Sith person due to like him changing it, because due to the fact that purple is a combination of red and blue.
Yeah. So. I just realized something. If you are watching Book of Boba Fett / Mandalorian, I bet one of the characters might have a purple lightsaber. I'm not gonna say who, but that's my guess.
They said they have like who else? Not only is Mace Windu the most famous owner to have a purple lightsaber, but there is another person.
There is another.
So,
I like in the Family Guy parody, it's like there is another. It's like who? It's like. Your twin sister is like, wait, who's my sister? Who's the other and only damn girl in the whole galaxy? but yeah, dude. Okay, yeah.
This one was awesome.
That's very sick. This one's awesome.
You got to move on.
Number six. This is probably one of my favorite ones. This is the first Science Saru one we get.
Oh, yeah, they did Ping Pong Animation, Devil May Cry, baby. And a bunch of stuff.
It's called TOB1, and it's directed by Abel.
This one was cute.
It's directed by Abel Gangora and written by Yuichiro Kido. And Abel Gangora, she's from Spain. He's from Spain. And he helped do a lot of European stuff like Wakfu and Ankama. And then he got a job at Science Saru. And then he did stuff on Ping Pong. He did some stuff on Night is Short, Walk On Girl, some other stuff. So this one you can tell is very heavily inspired by Astro Boy, because
it looks literally like Astro Boy.
TOB1 is named that. The droid is named that because his real name is Toby, and Astro Boy's real name is Tobio Tenma, and then Professor Mitaka looks like Dr. Tenma, his father, creator. So, they live on this remote kind of deserted planet where Professor Mitaka is trying to, like, you know, bring life back, as in, like, grow plants and make it rain, you know, bring nature back to this, like, desert-like planet. And Toby wants to be a Jedi. He's like, well, you know, the outside world is scary and you're safe here. We're going to bring life back here so you can live here, okay? Don't be talking about that Jedi nonsense. And then Toby's telling Mitaka, I have dreams about it, though. So then Dr. Mitaka's like, well, go find a kyber crystal then. And then he doesn't find it, obviously. But Toby goes into the basement, which he had been told not to go in there the whole time.
What's in the basement?
There's a ship down there, and Toby is playing in it, and it gives signal to Sith and some Empire people, and they go and do some shit. So Dr. Mitaka hides Toby in the wall and then gives him a lightsaber, wakes up, and continues Dr. Mitaka's research, and then it ends with Toby and this Sith guy fighting, and it's fucking sick. It's super dope. No, it's very science-y.
He discovers the lightsaber was inside him all along.
Yeah, the kyber crystal was in his droid body. Yeah, actually, yes, yeah. Which is...
Oh, what a metaphor. What a metaphor. For climate change?
Yeah, climate change.
Literally climate change? Because like, he's trying to bring like life
oh,
back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he is. I like how their house had like hieroglyphics of... like X-wings and shit on it.
Well, the twins, there was a hieroglyphics of Trigger's twins.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which is hilarious.
Got to have little Easter eggs.
But yeah, it was really cool, very well animated. You could the sound effects were very science hour, very old school. Every time Toby took a step, it was like pew 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 pew, you know what I mean? And very Astro Boy-ish. That was very clear to me because you know I love Astro Boy. And it was super sick. So, what did you guys think of it?
I mean,
Danny's like, it sucks.
I thought it was really cute. It definitely has that, you know, warm and fuzzy feeling. It's definitely something, you know, it was very retro, but I don't know. It didn't really speak to me too much.
Yeah, this is a very sci-fi type of plot. If you
wouldn't know it was Star Wars until like later.
Yeah,
on,
yeah.
Yeah.
If you've seen, if you're an old school anime fan like Sam, and you like Astro Boy type stuff, then you'll like this one a lot more probably. Whereas if you don't have experience with that, you're like, oh, this is kind of weird.
You're like, why does it look like this? Yeah, why has that guy got a huge schnoz?
Yeah, why am I rooting for a robot? Fuck robots, you know?
Did they ever say the Sith's name? They didn't, right?
No. I don't know.
I don't
he was like
think
another,
so.
Yeah.
I don't
he
think
was
so.
Just like some mass Vader looking mother. He was like a Vader poser. Some, yeah. He's like, you want to be Vader, but you're not, because you suck. Little android kicked your ass. Anyways. Yeah, dude, I think he was an Inquisitor, is what they said. But. That being said, yeah, I very much Nick hit it on the nose with that one. I happen to be I love Science-Saru, number one, and I love Astro Boy, and it was very much like taking two great old sci-fi properties and putting them together to make a Star Wars story. It was really sweet. So I think Abel Gongora did a great job making this one, and Yuichiro Kido for writing it. But anyway, any final thoughts on that one before we move on?
No.
I just really like the metaphor, you know. He gets the Force Ghost, the old man Force Ghost comes and knights him a Jedi, and he's like, he accepts everything, and then he gets stronger because of that.
Right. Yeah, super cool. And then he fuses with one of the droids to make like a jetpack and like go at the Sith.
Yeah.
Kind of sick.
It was cool. It was cool, but like, it was a little too non-traditional to be my favorite. And I'm not like the biggest Astro Boy fan. I get why it's important, but... just something about like rooting for a robot to me is just a little bit weird.
Wow, racist.
I'm basic, you know.
You're just a robotist. It's fine.
Cyborg.
Guess we have
you
a
know,
robotist.
Part human. I like.
Guess we have an androidist and robotist on the fucking podcast
yeah.
now. I guess whatever.
Yeah, fuck you.
Cancelled. Nick's like, yeah, just like my father and him, his father before him. but no. Anyway. Yeah, very cool. I like that one a lot.
I choose to believe what I was programmed to believe. That's my analysis.
But I do agree with Nick in the sense where it's like it is kind of far off from a Star Wars story. Like I said, you wouldn't really know until later when the saber shit comes in.
Although, I mean, there's cool robots in Star Wars. I forget the name of the one, but the one in The Mandalorian, like the spindly guy, he looks like Helper from Venture Brothers.
I thought that was IG-88. Isn't that
IG-88? I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah. Which is weird because I thought he was dead.
Yeah, IG-88 is dope, dude.
Oh, no, you know what?
Oh, no, it's the one that looks like him, I think.
Okay, I was going to say.
Or maybe it is him. No, okay, so it's a different, it's like a same model. IG-88 is a bounty hunter robot. IG-11 or whatever. It's like, but anyway.
Okay. I was going to say if it was IG-88, that would still make sense because IG-88 technically died in the expanded universe now. So by Dash Rendar.
Yeah, not in Japan expanded universe. What do you think of that?
But no, but yeah, IG-11, that makes more sense. Shout out to Dash Rendar, the homie Dash Rendar. Number 7, The Elder, directed by Masahiko Otsuka, written by Matsuhisa Otsuka, and this is the second Studio Trigger one that we get. This one was fucking cool.
This
dude.
One,
holy
I feel
shit.
Like, was the best one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so centuries after the death of Darth Bane, if you guys don't know who Darth Bane is, just Google it.
Look
he's
him
one
up.
Of the most. He's one of the most powerful Sith who ever existed. And the initial extinction of the Sith, Tajin and his Padawan Dan are sent to explore the outer rim of the Tajin senses of disturbance in the Force. They land on an isolated planet, and they go to this village, and the village people are like, yeah, this old guy came and was fucking crazy, and he ran off in his ship into the mountains, and he's been up there ever since just killing livestock. What the fuck do we do? And then, yeah, it turns out that this old crazy guy is some, like, old school Sith who you don't really know. It's a mystery. You don't really know if he's defected from the Sith or still a Sith. All you know is that he craves, like, to have a worthy Jedi opponent, and that's who he's waiting for. And so Tajin and Padawan go and find him in the mountains, and yeah, they have themselves a little bit of a duel. It was sick. This one was sick. David Harbour played Tajin, and James Hong, my man James
yeah.
Hong, played the Elder.
Yeah.
So sick, dude.
See?
I don't know
these
names.
That's why this one is awesome.
James Hong, okay, listen. James Hong is the, like, go-to actor for Asian people in movies. He played Cassandra's dad in Wayne's World 2.
All right.
Yeah.
He was, he's got to be, like, 90 years old by now.
He is. Yes. He's
actually
92. 92.
Oh, really? I was guessing.
Yeah.
Yes. He's 92. But, yes. So, what did you guys think of this one?
This one was definitely my favorite out of almost all of them. I just think that this style, I think Trigger should do more of, instead of, you know, the Kill a Kill Pro Mare
yeah.
looking like.
You can't give Imaishi too much freedom.
Yeah.
You really can't. A little bit goes a long way.
So, yeah, this was, I mean, it definitely, Taijin and Dan kind of reminded me of,
Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, he had the little,
oh my God, thank
little
you.
Braid.
Qui-Gon Jinn is, in my opinion, one of the greatest Jedi's ever lived.
Yes.
Next to Yoda.
Actually, he was one of the strongest, apparently.
He was, because he didn't care about the rules of the Jedi. He cared about balance, and that's what's important. He, like, broke Jedi, like, rules to, like, achieve oneness with the Force, and that's why he was one of the first people to become a Force ghost.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah. Anyway.
Plus, dude, if you take his daughter, he will come after you.
Oh, God.
I don't have any money. Anyway. So, yeah, no, I'm with you, Danny, because Studio Trigger showing their range here, which is very nice. I think Otsuka did a great job.
Like, they're capable of doing anime.
The twins in Kill la Kill and shit are anime.
No, Kill la Kill is not anime. Kill la Kill is crap.
All right.
More like crap la crap, am I right, Danny?
Y'all's a bunch of bitches. Mm. Don't hop on that one, Danny. I will slap you. But no, I agree with you. I really like the tone and color. I really like
yeah.
the art style as well. The art style was like that more kind of adultish look that we've seen in a lot of like older anime films.
Yeah, it's
like,
much more traditional. It looked a little bit like Dorohedoro, kind of.
Yeah. The facial kind of look, the facial looks of the characters kind of reminded me of Pat Labor, reminded me of Jinro a little bit. Very nice. I thought the design of the Elder was very cool.
Oh,
he was this crazy.
He looked scary, like legit. Yeah,
he had like cat eyes.
Like legit, like he's like, you know, the boogeyman under your bed. That's the face you see.
It was sick. He like fought half the time with his eyes, like more than half the time with his eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
That's how old people drive in real life.
He was a dual. He was a dual wielding Sith, and he just was like, he was like, ah, we're the opponent. It was fucking crazy, dude. It was.
Oh, I liked the metaphor of. Oh shoot, I forgot the name. It's like what is born on four legs, or no, it's four legs in the morning, two legs in the afternoon, and then like three legs in the evening or whatever. I saw this on a YouTube video. Basically, it's like, okay, humans, you crawl as a baby, four legs, and then you're on two legs as a in your peak form, and then it, when you're old, you have a cane. And like this one is kind of like the old man. He gets bested by the guy in his prime, and the guy in his prime is talking to his Padawan, and he's saying, soon I'll be the old man, you're going to be in the prime. You know what I mean? So it's like the cycle of the Force, kind of.
Because they're discussing at the end, he's like, so who was he? He's like, well, I don't know. He could have been a Sith. He could have been a Sith, or he could have been a Sith defector. All he cared about was just, like, fighting bitches. If he was in his prime, he probably would have killed me. Like, legit. Because he even said that during the battle. He was like, oh, if I was... I wish he would have came much sooner when I was much stronger. Ha, ha, ha. And it was James Hong doing his thing.
Doing his thing.
Cool. Yeah. But, yeah. Any final thoughts on this one?
This was a more, like, traditional, like, samurai-themed... I don't know.
Yes,
it just felt much more traditional than most of the other ones. And I liked...
Aside from the first one.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of... like, what was the grand narrative to it? It's hard to say. It's just kind of, like, very isolated. This almost feels like it would have taken place in the middle of a show rather than at the beginning.
You could tell that this was... Well, what I like about it, too, is you could tell that this was during the rule of the Jedi Order and the Republic, because, you know, there were still Jedi around. Mm-hmm. They were answering calls to different parts of the galaxy, mm-hmm. and they answered the call to this planet where this elder was being crazy. So it was like, you know. But yeah, no, I'm with you on that. What about you, Danny? Any final thoughts?
Nope.
Okay.
I said what I said. This is awesome. I want Trigger to do more traditional anime.
Okay. Number 8, Lop and Ocho, directed by Yuki Igarashi, written by Saya Waka, and this was done at Gene Studio. Gene Studio, man, they've done only a few things. They did the OVAs for Golden Kamuy. They did a film called Genocidal Organ. They're working on Golden Kamuy right now and some other... Oh, Pet. There was a 2020... anime.
What a name.
That one was kind of a weird one. But yeah, they haven't done much, so this is a really good for them. This takes place, I don't know when, it doesn't say, but like during the reign of the Empire, a rabbit-like alien slave named Lop escapes her captors on the planet Tau and is discovered by the planet's clan leader Yasaburo and his daughter Ocho, the latter of whom convinces the former to adopt Lop as his daughter. And then 7 years later, the Empire has occupied their planet and is exploiting it for its natural resources. And so Yasaburo is like, no, fuck the Empire. You guys are going to drive us to hell and extinction and turn my city into a war zone, and I don't want that. And Ocho wants to cooperate with the Empire, saying, I'm the next head of the family. We're doing it. The Empire knows what's up. They got a lot of money and resources. Fuck you. And Lop is like caught in between. She's just like their adoptive family member, and is like, I'm a bunny girl. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Y'all is a bunch of bitches.
This one was Psalms 10 out of 10.
Yes, it was.
A rabbit face Johnson.
She's a cute rabbit.
Apparently,
face
there is a rabbit face Johnson in Star Wars, and George Lucas hated it. So he's like, no, I get to make character. Like, I have to okay all characters from now on. And then he made Jar Jar. Right. So yeah. Anyway.
Then he made Jar Jar, and then like, yeah, apparently that was like okay. But, like, you know, this one was the longest one. This one is, like, 18 minutes.
No, wasn't the ninth one 20 minutes? Anyway, it was about the same length.
Oh, no, you're right. The ninth one was probably the longest one. Yeah, you're right. But that being said, I like this one because this is kind of like, what would you do for power? What would you do to stay on top? Would you betray your own people? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And here you have... Here you have Ocho, her, you know, Yasaburo's blood daughter, you know, fighting with them at the end, and Lop saying, no, this is not okay, the Empire sucks. And this just kind of goes to show you that Like, a lot of people say blood is thicker than water, but the actual saying is the blood is thicker in the covenant than the water of the womb, which means, you know, fuck your biological family. They don't know shit about fuck. You know what I mean?
You know what's thicker than all that? Me.
Nick, you know what you need to do randomly when you're wearing pants? You just need to scratch your shin and be like, man, my dick itches.
Oh, my God.
Nah, dude. Yeah. Other than that, like, the animation, I think, was really good. I really loved it. I loved the design of Lop. I love Ocho's outfit in the when it's 7 years later, and it shows her in her, like, royal garb, you know? And then I love her Empire outfit. When she's in her Empire outfit, I'm like, damn.
Oh, yeah, dude, like her Admiral or whatever?
Yeah, she looks sick. It was, like, the white one, you know?
Yeah, because that's, like, that denotes their ranking or something.
Yeah, yep. And it was super dope.
She also, but, like, bit what'd you guys her think? Thumb and, like, made eyeshadow out of her blood.
Like, imagine being that badass, dude.
I mean...
I would be complaining. I'd be like, God, my thumb is bleeding. Like, that'd be me.
Ow, 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 guys.
Ow,
don't stop,
gosh.
Guys. Nick is in the middle of a lightsaber battle, and he cuts his thumb on his lightsaber handle. He's like, oh, stop. Wait, time out. Time out.
No, I'd, like, stub my toe and be like, God.
Nick Wait, will be the time worst out. Lightsaber warrior ever.
Nick has only mastered, like, form 3.
I'd get a Charlie
like,
horse.
Oh, God, stop. Time out.
Can you be a little lighter with your swings? Have a bad back.
Someone, a Sith, uses lightning on him, and he's like, okay, that's dangerous. You could short this whole entire area, and we won't be able to see.
Let me put my cell phone down first, okay?
Yeah, like, God. Like,
I'm not trying to fucking, like, explode my battery. God.
This is a Google Pixel 10, okay?
Like, I don't have a warranty.
I got to pay monthly.
No. I just paid it off. That's the meme.
Oh.
Yeah. My contract's not even up yet, dude. Stop. Anyway, that was fucking funny. Anyway, so, like, yeah.
I would be the shittiest warrior.
Yeah, other than that, what did you guys... So, Nick, what did you think?
I'm watching it again right now at 2x speed, and it's pretty sweet. Literally, as we've been going through the episode, I've been watching everything at 2x speed.
That's actually pretty good, dude. Podcasting on, like, while... Reviewing the thing while watching it again.
Yeah, dude, that's legit. 2x speed.
That's pretty
this
good, yeah.
See? All right, Nick solves podcasting.
No, dude, like, yeah, and, you know, by the end of it, it turns out that Yasaburo's family comes from a line of Jedi, and Lop gets handed the family sword.
Yeah.
And the family sword is actually a lightsaber, which is
I'll take S-words for 400.
Yeah, dude. I'll take the penis mightier. But, yeah, fucking Lop, dude. Lop should have been our waifu. Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, who's the waifu? I don't even remember anymore, frankly.
Kara from the Ninth Jedi.
Okay, you know what? Never mind.
That's pretty good, yeah. Kara, F, or Lop should have been best girl. But yeah, Kara.
Wait, which one is which? Who's the bunny girl?
Lop.
Who's the other one?
Kara is the Ninth Jedi.
No, Ocho. Lop and it's the title of the thing, right? Okay, never mind.
Oh, Lop and... Sorry, we ruined the joke. Okay, anyway.
So, no, Nick, it wasn't a joke. I was figuring it out.
Oh, yeah. Last night on Discord, I was like, dude, the Ninth Jedi is sick. And Nick goes, which one's that one? I'm like, it says it right at the beginning of the thing. He's like, I don't know names. I'm like, it says it right before you click on the episode.
Can
like,
you describe
when you're picking.
It?
I was like, when you're picking the episode on Disney Plus, like on the menu, it says the name. He's like, I don't know names. And he did the Arthur fist. But yeah, so Nick, what else did you think about this one? Sorry, we were like fucking.
I'm liking this one more. It's growing on me. Well, it's probably one of my favorites. I'm like such a basic bitch. I like the basic stories the most. You know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with Danny. Like, fuck Trigger. You know, fuck him.
Haterade.
I'm just kidding.
Haterade.
It's like Trigger and the duel had like the highest highs, but then also they were just a little too weird.
Sure.
You know, I'm a conservative media consumer, okay? I want things to go back to tradition, and all progress must be annihilated.
Back to reality. Ulta goes gravity. All progress must be annihilated.
I'm like half kidding about that, actually. I kind of do like basic stuff a lot, but anyway.
Nick just wants everything to go back to the dark side.
Everything has to be perfect,
force.
You know? Postmodernism is bullshit.
So other than that, I mean, did you like this one more than others? Or
yeah, I
liked
it more than most of the other ones. I have to figure out where I want to rank it at the end, but.
Sure. So any final thoughts on this one? Either you two or no?
Lop has a power coder thingy from Dragon Ball.
A scouter?
Yeah, a scouter, yeah. And it has a carrot on it.
Super cute.
Oh, because she's a bunny.
I also thought that the meaning behind Lop's adoptive father giving her the family lightsaber as, you know, you don't have to be blood to be family.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, Sam, Nick, you're my family.
Hell yeah, dude. Nick is like my Nick is like my cousin twice removed, and you're like that one cousin that, like, when we meet at the reunion, we sneak off with two full plates of food and, like,
and we just, you know, talk bullshit about our family.
Talk bullshit and light a fatty real quick. Yeah.
And then Nick just, like, waltzes over. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, I got like snot coming down.
You guys got any games on your phone?
Yeah.
Nick will just like sit next to us and be like, do you guys play Clash of Clans?
My favorite card is the Golden Knight.
He can dash.
Let's move on to the last one.
Lopinocho.
This one's called Akakiri.
I don't remember this one, even though it's the most recent one I watched.
This one's directed by Yin Young Choi. And this was written by Yuichiro Kido, who also had written TOB1. This is also by Sion Saru. So
how many of those did they have? I think they had two, right?
They
had this one and the Toby one. Prior to the initial extinction of the Sith, a Jedi named Tsubaki, who has been suffering from visions of unidentified individual dying in front of him, reunites with his old love Misa, a princess who has been overthrown by her dark side wielding Aunt Masaga.
She looks like an alien, by the way.
Yeah, with the aid of guides Senshu and Kamahachi, Tsubaki and Misa make their way to the royal palace, and Masako captures Tsubaki's friends and overpowers him, then attempts to convince him to join her as her apprentice. So yeah, some Jedi push and pull here, kind of questioning your place in the Force. Yun Young Choi is a South Korean studio executive.
Oh, shit. And, I already like him.
She is the president and CEO of Sion Saru right
nice.
Now.
Her, sorry. After, did I say him? Her.
Her, yeah. Which she co-founded with Masaki.
Dude, South Koreans are just, like, better than us, man.
She was a key animator on Witchblade in 2006. Ghost Slayers Ayashi, Kaiba.
You got to watch Kaiba, Sam. We got to do a show trade, and you're watching Kaiba.
Okay, deal. Tatami Galaxy.
Danny, you
got to
watch that at 2x speed.
No.
As punishment.
She was a key animator and a director for Episode 10 in Tatami Galaxy, and she also was a producer and animation producer for Devilman Crybaby. So, there you go. Most recently did some stuff for, she was a producer for the Heike Monogatari as well. So very cool. This one was okay. I don't think I would have ended
this
it
one
on
was
this
a
one.
Little boring.
This one was weird.
It was a little, and I think also because it was longer. So we were kind of like, oh shit, this
one's
longer.
You should have put like this one and the band. No, this one wasn't that long. It was only 13 minutes. But this one and the band one in the middle. But, like, maybe not right next to each other.
The previous one was longer. This one is shorter, yeah. But, yeah.
This one didn't feel that much like Star Wars.
Yeah, it felt more of just, like, a normal kind of, like, warrior family betrayal kind of story. And they just put, like, Jedi shit in it.
Oh, my God. I just remembered, like, in the duel, there's an R2-D2 with a straw hat.
Yeah. Super dope.
I forgot to mention that. That was so cool.
Yeah, that was super sick. And he had a missile thing.
Yeah.
Which is super dope. Yeah, this one was okay. The story in it was a little too basic for me. Maybe a little too basic for Nick. I don't know.
It was strange.
Yeah, it was kind of, and like, this is Sayansaru again showing their range, which is really sick, I thought, because this is kind of one of their more weirder art styles and animations that they do. Whereas with like, you know, with like Eizouken and the Toby one, right? It's kind of like they have odes, like homages to like older styles, and in Ping Pong and this one is like a, you know, very different kind of style in animation and art. So, but I loved it. I still loved the art style and the way it was animated and the way everything was shaded was very nice and very cool. It's just the story was just kind of like whatever, a little boring in the middle for me. And yeah, I kind of do wish, like Nick said, that this one was in the middle. But what do you guys think?
I'm not going to lie. When this one was playing, I was kind of falling asleep because I was getting really, really tired at the end.
So yeah, I actually was getting sleepy last night, so I really watched like the last.
Yeah, well, maybe you should have planned ahead. Much.
What are you talking about?
Star Wars isn't for weaklings, Danny.
Yeah, well, at least I have better time management than you.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that from the guy who watches everything at 2 times speed.
Yeah, right.
This was like 20 minutes before start. This was like the episode of Mandalorian where Ahsoka shows. Oh shit! Spoilers.
No, I mean, people know by now. They made the memes already.
Okay, where the one character shows up and like they have a duel.
Where the one character
Dave Filoni directs it, and it's based on the old Japanese movie. I don't remember which one it was. I don't think it was Yojimbo. I think it was a different one.
I think it was reviews.
Was it Seven Samurai?
No, not Seven Samurai.
But, you know, where they're in the garden and they're doing the sword fight.
Yeah, one of the reviews you said earlier was they said it.
But it's similar to that episode of Mandalorian, so.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, people, I said on the newscast that that character was in The Mandalorian, so it's no problem. But like, yeah, it was a little slow for me. It was okay. What about you, Danny? What did you think?
I mean, it was fine. The animation was a little slightly like off-putting for me. I mean, there was nothing bad about it. Princess Misa just looked odd. Like, she had, like, a freaking Animal Crossing nose.
Good egghead.
So,
not even an egg. She was like
I kind of got, like, I'm kind of reading through Tsubaki's profile on fandom, on Wiki Fandom. And as I'm reading it, it's kind of, like, giving me Anakin Padme vibes. Like, you know, you have a Jedi Knight who fell for a princess, and it's forbidden love, this and that, and the third. And
oh,
then,
yeah,
like
Obi-Wan,
you know,
and Duchess, what's her name?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and like, you know, the Jedi, you know, saw like kind of like visions of his future, of him slaying Misa, and like he kind of ignored, you know, the advice that he was given, kind of thing. And so it kind of got me like Anakin Padme vibes from it. It was fine.
It was kind of kind of made sense at the ending, because like the way he just kind of leaves.
Mm-hmm.
He just like puts his hood up, leaves. It's got like little drums playing.
It's very clear that he had, yeah.
Well, he, you know, accidentally struck down Misa, and, you know, in exchange to save his life, like, he accepted, you know, Masago's offer to become her apprentice. So, and then she used the force healing to heal Misa. And
yeah.
Misa was all like, "You're really going?" And he's all like, "Put the hood on," and then leaves.
Yeah. It was more cerebral than most of the other ones.
Yeah.
I think, you know what, I think that's fine, because if you make it to episode 9, you're just going to finish it. So.
Right.
I guess I shouldn't be too picky. It's mostly those first couple eps they should have fixed. Okay?
Or maybe even just rearrange them a little bit.
Yeah, just put episode 2 in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to sucker us in.
Definitely. If not, then have more like episode 2 and sprinkle them throughout, not
yeah.
just the one. Because the rest of it was like Jedi shit, right? And this one.
Yeah.
But anyway, Okay.
Do we want to try to rank them now?
Yeah, you know what? Let me go first, because I think I already know how I would rank them. Nine being the least favorite, number one being the whatever, right? So I would do nine. I would do episode nine, Akakiri, at nine. Then I would do number two, Tattoo and Rhapsody, at number eight. Then going up, I would do taking too long, I know. Toby, just because it's a little further from Star Wars. Then The Elder. Then The Village Bride, The Ninth Jedi. No, shit. I would do The Duel before Toby, because The Duel is just kind of straightforward. Then Toby, then Village Bride, The Twins, The Ninth Jedi, and then Lapinocho. No, Lapinocho number two, Ninth Jedi number one, probably.
All right.
No, Twins.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You guys go. I can't fucking do
okay,
this.
Okay,
yeah, you guys
agree
go.
With the
you
first
guys go.
Ones you had, like Akakiri episode nine. And,
I'm gonna write it down. You guys go.
And
you
also,
go.
Tatooine Rhapsody. Those are my bottom two, probably. They're both fine, and they have their merits. Then I would probably put, probably the TOB1, and then also after that, I'll say the Twins, even though it had really cool animation. And then I'll say the Duel, kind of up there. I like the ones with the stories the most. So I'd put Village Bride, Ninth Jedi. Oh, no. Then I go Elder, then Village Bride, then Ninth Jedi, and then Lapinocho, kind of all bunched up at the top. So that was mine.
Sam, are you still figuring your shit
out? I'll say the Ninth Jedi is my favorite, followed by the Village Bride and Lapinocho.
Yeah, Danny, you go ahead. I'm still figuring it out.
So I'm kind of with Nick, with my bottom two being Akakiri and Tatooine.
Fuck bands. Music sucks.
I mean, it was just like, I mean, it was fine. There was nothing wrong with them. It was just
no,
like,
it was actually kind of fun.
They were meh for me. And then I would probably, next would probably be Toby, you know, TOB1. Next would probably be the Twins. And then the Village Bride. The Duel would probably be next. And Lapinocho, and then the Ninth Jedi.
Let's go.
Okay, yeah. I would put, starting from the bottom up, Akakiri, Tatooine Rhapsody, The Duel, The Elder, TOB1, Lapinocho.
Oh my god,
Village
I forgot
Bride,
The Elder too. The Elder's my number one.
The Village Bride, The Twins, and The Ninth Jedi. And I would probably put everything above. I would put The Elder, everything I said after The Elder, I would put like in the tops, right? Because like the ones I enjoyed the least were probably Akakiri, Tatooine Rhapsody, and I didn't enjoy The Duel. I enjoyed The Duel a lot. It's just that it was just really straightforward and kind of the opener.
It was just like your typical opener, and like I feel like that was a good opener. Yeah. So
it just felt like an action. Like it felt like I was watching Sokka Gaboru.
Yeah.
My top three are definitely The Elder, Ninth Jedi, and Lapinocho. Those are my top three.
And the reason I have the Twins that high is because I love Imaishi. So
I'm like him in small bursts. That's what she
I
said.
I love it all the time. Yeah. Lapinocho I probably would put above the Village Ride, replace those two because Bunnyface Johnson. But yeah, dude, other than that, I think Star Wars Visions is really cool. There was a couple of reviews that I watched, thanks to Nick supplying them to us. They kind of said it was just okay and whatever.
I disagree
with all of, which is like that's a fair assessment.
It's all just a bunch of pilots,
right? Yeah, and that's a fair assessment. Except also you suck.
Yeah, except fuck you.
But that being said, what is one of these that you guys think? Oh, okay. You know what? And then the reason I asked this is because there was there's a YouTube channel called Star Wars Theory. Great channel.
Oh, the guy with the butt chin.
Nick posted a video and he kind of said, he's like, I'm not sure if this is true or not. I'm just guessing, but it kind of seemed like if Star Wars were to make an anime, they're kind of doing like a test run with all these studios.
Yeah, like a Little Witch Academia style or Death Billiards.
Yeah, which I don't think they're necessarily doing. I think this is just supposed to be a straight up anthology. You know,
they
whatever.
Might as well but though. Like, that's another market they could hit.
But yeah, they could absolutely. I mean, they love Star Wars over there, and this is not the first time Star Wars has been produced in Japan. There's tons of manga out there right now that are done in manga. There's a bunch of manga stories that are Star Wars. So, but that being said, my question is this: what is one of these studios and or stories that you would love to see an anime of?
Any of my top three or four, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
The Ninth Jedi, The Elder, and probably La Pinocho. I would love to see
The Village Bride would be cool too.
I think I would like more of a movie for The Village Bride over a TV series.
Yeah, that's fine.
Series.
Yeah, or a short OVA thing, like mini series.
Like La Pinocho, I mean, it ended at a good continuation for their story. Because
open-ended, yeah.
Yeah, Ocho kind of leaves with the Empire, and, you know, that leaves Lop, you know, it's...
with her dad on the planet.
Yeah, so, you know, it makes you wonder, are the siblings going to, you know, maybe fight again later on? You know, is Lop going to just continue on trying to get Ocho back to be a part of the family kind of thing?
Yeah.
With the Elder, I feel like the Elder would probably be a different title for the show. Like if they actually did make it a series, because
because
they killed the Elder. Yeah. So, you know, they would probably, of course, have to change the title. But I would like to see more of
those two.
Yeah, Taijin and Dan. Because I mean, I just love that kind of duo aspect and everything.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah, if I were to say what it is right now, I would love to see, I'm definitely with Danny on the La Pinocho. Also the Ninth Jedi ended kind of open-ended as well, because they took her dad, right?
And
they
was another good open-ended one. Like that could be a continuous series.
The whole thing that Margrave Jura was trying to do is restore Jedi Order. So, and that could be one of the key moments that restored it to its, its glory. So,
mm-hmm.
I would love to see Studio Science Saru, or not Science Saru, but,
dude, fuck Science Saru, they suck. I'm just kidding.
I would love to see Production IG
Production IG is good.
Show. Yeah. What about you, Nick?
I already said mine. I said expediently, unlike you guys.
Yeah, shut up. Fuck you.
Any of the story ones. I don't think I could handle black and white in a whole, series.
I don't think I could either. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, one last question.
If they colorized the duel, then yes.
One last question. Are you a Jedi or a Sith? Don't say Grey Knights. They don't exist. They're stupid. There's no such thing as a Grey Knight.
I'm a Sith because Jedis are cops and fuck cops.
What about you, Danny?
Plus, I can do the Palpatine voice better than the other voices, so that's kind of my decisions made for me.
I'm going to say I'm going to take a curve here. I'm more like Ahsoka, after she gets her white lightsabers, because she's...
Ahsoka's the only true gray knight, in my opinion.
And you said no gray knights.
Well.
I did say that.
So you got to pick one, Danny, if you have to pick one.
I mean, my personality is definitely not Sith worthy, if that's for sure.
Are you a Slytherin or a Gryffindor? The other houses are bullshit.
No Harry Potter here, thank you.
Harry Potter.
No, I for sure be a Jedi. That's.
So yeah. You're a virgin. All right, got it.
I am far from a virgin.
You know, Siths. Siths are stick men. They get around. Okay.
I think you're the one who's a virgin here.
I am definitely more of a Sith. I think the Jedi Code is bullcrap. It's very dismissive of like your feelings, and your feelings are part of the Force. So the Sith Code is, you know, through passion I gain strength, through strength I gain power, with power I gain victory, and my chains are freed, and I am part of the Force.
Yeah. Yeah. Real life, I'm probably more like a Jedi because I'm fucking, I got nothing. So
I got nothing.
But I want to be a Sith.
Oh, man. All right. Let us know some of your favorite shorts from Visions. What did you think of it? And let us know if you're a Jedi or a Sith or a Grey Knight. Chances are, if you are a Jedi, I'll come to your planet. I'll fucking kill you. Big deal. You know, so. BFD.
I'll let you live if you give me money.
Yeah, otherwise, I'll let you live if you join the dark side.
Dark side, yeah.
But yeah, dude, I love Visions. I think it's great. I think it's a great addition to Star Wars, and I think we all kind of enjoyed it somewhat, give or take a few things. But yeah, that being said,
well, we had a short hour 45-minute episode this week.
Yeah,
we're getting back into the swing of things.
Let us know what part of Visions you liked. I've been Darth. Fatty.
Darth Fatty.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say. Yeah. And then Danny Mar. What is that? Tarf.
Vizsla?
Admiral
Tarf Vizsla or something?
Danny Vizsla.
Danny.
And
Danny the Hutt. That's what Sam said at first.
And Nick Bulba. There you go.
No, I would be Nick Binks.
Ha ha ha!